Coach Johnny Majors now joining us. Coach Majors, great to talk to you. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Is this Tony, I assume?
You've got Tony, Coach, so don't hang up, okay? Please don't hang up, even though you have me.
Who am I talking with?
Coach, this is Tony Basilio.
Okay. Tony, good morning.
Good to talk to you, Coach.
You too.
Coach, let's get to it here. First of all, you had a chance to add to your growing archive the other day, and I guess that's wonderful, Coach. People care enough about you and your family to preserve such things. You are Tennessee history, Coach Majors.
Well, certainly I'm a part of it, and thanks to University of Tennessee. I also had a couple of outstanding brothers who were outstanding football players here. Bill, who followed me exactly 4 years after I came. In fact, I was a student coach at first fall, and he was here in 57. My first year out, and I played a year of pro football and got back in time to pass to finish my last two subjects that I needed for graduation in the fall of 57. We had an early Canadian football season. So anyway, I got back and I got to coach Bill, who was an outstanding man, single wing tailback, and a terrific, a great safety man. And then Bob, of course, made All-American in 1971, was an outstanding safety man, led the nation in punt returns and I believe interceptions both. I think he had 11 interceptions, and he was a great athlete. And then, of course, my entire family are inductees, the charter inductees into the Sports Hall of Fame. And that's because of my father and my mother and my sister and Larry, who played at Sewanee for my dad. And four of us played for my dad at Huntland. We had great, great records there. And that's my dad's set of records. But we had a lot of victories for the Huntland Hornets. And we've been very fortunate. We've been very, very fortunate. We've had great support. The most two little towns, Lynchburg and Huntland, where I grew up, and great support throughout my playing career at Tennessee. And we've all had some wonderful friends we've known at the different places where we played and been lifelong. And we had great coaching. Our father in high school, we won 70 games and lost one and tied one. So we're charter inductors of the family, the only family inducted into the Tennessee Football Hall of Fame in its entirety. It started in 1966, and we're the only ones ever going in as a family. So we're honored and we're blessed very, very much because we had athletic ability. Our dad was a great athlete. He could punt, pass, run, play defense, and an outstanding amateur baseball and basketball player. So we grew up loving it, and we had the greatest teacher you could have as a little boys under at our dad's feet. Did I lose you?
An entire family, Coach. That's unprecedented. You guys went in as an entire family. Coach, let me ask you something. Coach Majors, bear with me here. We're having a little technical issue. I hope you're still there. Hey, Coach, as we talk about this new regime, you've made some news in your support of Butch Jones. But I want to ask you particularly, what have you seen from him, Coach, that you like? Talk to me about Butch Jones. Is Coach Majors there, Bry?
I was doing a lot of talking there, maybe too much. But where were we when I got cut off?
Hey, I'm sorry, Coach. I was wanting to ask you now about Coach Butch Jones and your thoughts on him. and the time you've had to spend around him, and just give me your impressions of him. He hadn't coached a game yet here, but I want your impressions on him.
Tony, when he first came into town, I had several people after he'd been here several days, and maybe right away, people said, you think we'll win next year, number two or number one. What do you think about a new coach? Well, my comment back when I first saw him on television and heard what he had to say and saw what he had to say, and also reading the newspapers, his quotes, well, I said, well, my first reaction is this. I like what he says, and I like the way he says it. He talks very straightforward. He's very energetic, very intelligent. He's a very aggressive recruiter. It turned out, as we kept what we're looking and watching, that his recruiting was outstanding, and his staff, of course, his staff, you have to have a good staff to recruit and to coach. And the more I've been around him, I don't spend a lot of time with Coach Jones, but I've been privately with him for about three times. My request once, maybe, and his maybe once or twice, but I didn't talk to him about how he should coach. It's just none of my business. But we had a good conversation all three times. He's very much interested in Tennessee history. He took the University of Tennessee, football history, that is. And he's a dynamo, just plain and simple. And after watching him practice in spring practice, watching him and his coaches and his team, I guarantee you this, and I said this very affirmatively, strongly. Mark this down, and today's August the 15th. I've told people this since I've watched him practice four or five times in scrimmage also in spring, and also I watched him practice three times so far this fall. He will get the job done, plain and simple. People ask me how many think we'll have a winning season next year. I said, you'd have to go to find out. I said, who knows? But I guarantee you this, you will see an improved football team as far as the way they are drilled and disciplined and the way that they will pursue and hustle. It's up-tempo game on that practice field over there. He's talking a lot with that microphone in his hands, and when he talks, he means business, and he's got something pointed and important to say. And those coaches are like a bunch of ants building an anthill. They are moving everywhere. They're treating the ground like it's hot. They're moving with their feet. And I had a saying when I was coaching, coach on the run, talk on the move. Don't stand around and talk it. Keep the drill going. I don't want one coach holding up five others when he's talking to one player. Talk on the move, run, jog back to the huddle with him, come out of the line ready to go, and coaching all the time. If he's doing well, you can say, hey, that's a way to go. But if he's not, you're going to correct him and get something done. So they know how to coach. That's plain and simple. And right now, who knows whether he'll win six games or not. Nobody knows. Nobody can tell. But you can tell a well-coached football team when you watch them play, probably the first game, but at least after three or four games, by their discipline and whatever. And, discipline, not whatever. Discipline and their order and their hustle and their conditioning. I would say those players would be able to run from daylight, run from noon to midnight if they had to.
Coach, I was talking with somebody from Cincinnati yesterday about him, who covered him for 3 years there, and said that Butch Jones is a real people person. He's a down-to-earth guy. What you see is what you get. His kids like him. They respond to that. And also said that he's got some old school in him. Said you could call him conservative. Said he likes the running game. He likes playing it close to the vest. He said some would even call him conservative at times. That sounds like an old-school football coach to me. Do you get from him when you watch him that there's some old-school in Butch Jones?
Oh, yeah. I am. He's in modern days, of course, but I know how football practice should go because I was taught carefully by my dad and Bowden White, who was one of the greatest coaches in history, and working for Frank Brawls in Arkansas, who had some of the best tempo that's ever been. And I've watched Vince Lombardi practice with the Packers, and I've watched Bo Schembechler, who was an outstanding disciplined physical coach in Michigan, and I traveled around a lot in the off season and Darrell Royal, and I watched Bear Bryant. We had tempo in high school, in Putnam High School. We had tempo with Bowden White. Frank Bross had great tempo, and so did Lombardi, and so did Bryant, and so did a couple of the other ones I mentioned. A lot of people don't know what tempo is, and coaching makes a big difference. You have to have talent to win. But outstanding coaching will make a mediocre team a little above average quite often, to make an above average team maybe good. And he will get the maximum out of a great team. So he will maximize his talent. I will guarantee you that. I know that, and I believe that. If I were coaching today, I'd be using the offense he has. I'd be using that spread offense. I'd love to play it in the spread offense with having everybody spread all over the field. When you break the line of scrimmage, you don't have seven or eight people converging on you. You've got three or four. I think he's got the right offense. I think he's got the right way he practices. Practice like you play. If you practice with effort and enthusiasm and discipline, you will play with enthusiasm, effort, and discipline.
Make no mistake about it, the incomparable Johnny Majors is joining us on the program today, and you bow your head when you say his name in these parts because he is Tennessee royalty. And Coach Majors came right out and said it. He promised. He said, this guy is going to succeed here. Is that right, Coach Majors? You said he's going to succeed. You said it might not be this year. You said whatever that means, but mark it down. This guy will get it done at Tennessee.
You will get the job done. He's got the tempo on that field that's best since I left there, and I don't know that we can compare with what he's doing. So I certainly would not say that our tempo was any better, because I couldn't be telling the truth. He's got the best tempo that's been on that practice field in a long, long time.
You know, Coach, I want to ask you something here, a couple things. First of all, how difficult is it to be him? How difficult is it to walk into a new situation as he has? And one thing he did right away that I like is he embraced the tradition here wholeheartedly. He got all those former players back in the program. Many of those guys played for you. A ton of those guys have kids right now who are going to contribute in years to come, like the Todd Kellys, some other guys that we can roll through the list of guys, including Bill Bates. And he's been able to do that. He's been able to put that fence up around the program in the state of Tennessee. Guys have been leaking out of the state for years, going back 10 years even. Guys have been leaking out of the state. He's been able to do that. Give me your impressions of the other things that he's done besides on the practice field around the program.
Well, I think your first comment right then was, how hard is it to walk in like he did? And that's something about the way you said it. I tell you, it's not hard to walk in like he did if he's what, because that's what he is. You people recognize a phony. Intelligent people can recognize a phony pretty quick. And my dad could recognize a phony a mile away, pretty much. That's exaggerated, of course, but I could read people pretty darn well, pretty quickly. Sometimes I made mistakes on that, but the point is, you've got to be what you are. Vince Lombardi didn't put on an act when he got into turn Green Bay from a loser, perennial loser, to a winner. And neither did Bowden White, who was the only coach in the history of American football who won three conference championships at three different major conferences. The old Skyline with Wyoming, Utah State, Utah, and Arizona State. And he also won his second year at Arkansas after going 2-8. They won the championship the next year, played in the Cotton Bowl, came to Tennessee, who were 5-5, and 4-6, and 53-54. We were 6-3-1. We lost our first two games and only lost one more that 55 season. The next year we were 10-0 and number two in the country. Bowden White was Bowden White, big, fine, handsome man, and disciplined and tough and demanding, but also knew how to phrase it, had a sense of humor. Butch Jones is being what he is. There's nothing to put on about him. He's straightforward. That's the reason he's recruiting well. Mothers are reading his eyes, and mothers are listening to what he says. And what he says it well, and you don't have to read around the book to find out what it's like. You're looking at the book, and you're reading the book while he's talking. And those people believe him, the players, the prospects, and also the parents, or they wouldn't be committed like that. And those players believe in what he's saying, and he's got a disciplined staff, and they're all like the peas out of the same pod. I was talking to one of my teammates, Lonnie Hirschman, a couple of days ago about our staff. If you were a lineman, and you went to was upset with Coach Skeeter Bailey or Coach Dick Hitt, and you went to see the end coach, you weren't going to get any sympathy there. They all talk the same language, so it's what this staff's like. Those players are bought in, and they bought in right away. That's not anybody standing around there. And when that whistle blows, they move like ants building an anthill.
I tell you, those kids are hungry, too. And you know, after losing for so long as they are, let me ask you something off the beaten path I never asked you. When you won your national championship at Pittsburgh and you left and you took the job here, did you ever think what would have happened if I would have stayed at Pittsburgh? And I'm thinking about guys that win championships, because you had made a comment earlier in the week that I saw when you were doing your thing with your majors library coach. And you were talking about...
I've thought about it hundreds of times, but I didn't think about it long, dwell on it, because I had work to do where I was. Yeah, we had it going. And Tennessee is the only school that I would have considered leaving, as much as I know that you can win at Southern Cal. If you're the top jobs at the time are Southern Cal, Ohio State, Texas, I think the three best in the country. But now you've got Alabama. Florida wasn't great for Memphis. Spurry went there. But there are about 15 really good jobs and 10 really top 10 jobs. And I wouldn't have considered Southern Cal or Notre Dame or Texas at that time. Tennessee, when they called, frankly speaking, I wanted to stay and I wanted to come. But I've always loved Tennessee, and some of it has to do with ego. Some of it has to do with pride of rebuilding your former school and your alma mater, and going back and being a winner among the people that you've known all your life, and bring back the so-called glory and high competition and championship football. I would always wonder what it would have been like if I hadn't have taken the job. So, frankly, in my head, I really didn't want to leave. I loved the city. I loved the people there, and I knew we had a championship going there. And when you get it going, I don't say it mushrooms, but you just build on it. When Florida State had the great thing going, and when Florida had it going, and Alabama's got it going, you just build. It just builds. It just keeps on there. It kind of stays impacted. And people want to go there because people are 17, 18 years old, 16. They know more about the now. They don't know anything much about the 20s and 30s and 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and whatever. But, a lot of people I talk to know who Tony Dorsett is, but not many teenagers do, but some of the real football enthusiasts do. But they want something immediately and quicker. And tradition is very important. And when you're winning, like we had it going in Pittsburgh, and you're going to be able to recruit, and you've got the confidence, and you've got the support. The finances get better as far as the building facilities. So that's nothing like it. But I would have always wondered, and so I came, and that's the way it is.
You know, you said when you're winning, and it builds on itself, and it builds on itself. And I go back to the early 90s when you turned the corner here, and you really had this thing. I mean, this thing was really rolling. And then you had your ouster, which we all know is a very unfortunate chapter in Tennessee football history. And then Tennessee goes on and wins a national championship. And then the bottom just kind of falls out on the program. As long as you've been around the sport, how do you explain something like that happening, the way it just kind of fell out the last 10 years?
Well... I don't think I'm going to get into that much today because we've got this new coach going today, but you've got to maintain discipline and you've got to maintain your recruiting, and discipline is a great part of a program. And, he's bringing it back in here for the first time in several years, and I'm not going to get into any pointed ears right now or anything else like that, because I don't want to be on the negative this morning. Once you get it done, you got to stay hungry, and people are going to try to copy you, and they're going to try to catch you. There's always somebody there biting at your feet, whether it's a new formula you've discovered or a new patent you discovered for something really great. And that patent runs out, there's going to be people copying you like you won't believe. So same thing in football. You've got to stay hungry, and you've always got to have discipline in your program, because when you can't catch punts and you let the ball bounce on the ground when it's punted, it's going to go the other against you when you're returning the ball. If it hits the ground, it'll go away from towards your goal line more than it will the other teams. I say 75% of the time. Just that meant a little things, fumbling and jumping off sides, illegal procedures. That's been going around here for quite a while.
Yeah, there's just no doubt. And I wasn't trying to get you, really, Coach, I wasn't trying to pull you in anything. I was just, my whole thing was, and I look today at Nick Saban, and I say, when does it end? I mean, is this guy, has he had enough? I mean, how can they still be hungry? And they look, Alabama looks madder and meaner and more disciplined to me every year than they did the past year. I mean, that guy and that staff down there, they've done an incredible job, Coach Majors, haven't they?
Well, to be frank, I'm going to be frank with you. Nick Saban can coach. He's focused, and you can't get him. You can't get him off the focus. He will smile briefly when he wins the national championship and has a trophy in his arm. Well, pretty proudly he'll smile, but he doesn't take the company very long. He moves right on to the next game and right on to the next subject and says thank you, and then he moves on. He doesn't dwell on anything. It's this moment. It's just this moment. I heard him lecture for more than once. I'm involved with him. I'm the president of the NAACP Coach of the Year Football Commission. We have 17 from coast to coast, and we have four top NAACP coaches at every clinic, and top high school coaches and junior college coaches and top small college coaches. And I've heard him lecture many times, and he is as good as there is. I'm not trying to help him recruit, but when he gets up there before 200 coaches, he talks for 45 minutes about how to win. And that's not any malarkey. It's not any of that how they recruit. It's about how they win and how they coach. In the last 45, he talks about pass defense, which he is superb at. That's his specialty. And I'll tell you, he has notes. He has things organized, but he doesn't use many notes. He's got it embedded. One thing, and I'll close on this. And I knew, if I told some people, you watch Alabama, they don't make stupid penalties. I don't like to use the word stupid too often. They don't make unnecessary penalties or foolish penalties.
No.
How many times you'll see them get ready to hit a guy with a yard of the sideline and pulls up with his hands straight up and pulls up the last second, and the runner or the receiver runs out of bounds right before he hits the boundary that the center pulls up. And he made a statement in one of his lectures. He said, you will never see an Alabama player talk or converse with another opponent or with an opponent any time in the ballgame. If he is doing that, or he's making a motion to somebody or pointing to somebody, he's not concentrating on the moment and what he's got to do next. And that's the way they play. And Butch Jones is going to have discipline. And everybody's different, you know. Vince Lombardi is different from my dad, and Bowden White was different from General Nealon. So we're all different, but Stones is going to get it done. And I got to get out of here in a few minutes.
Coach, I love you. Coach, I love you.
No, you. Hey, but Tony, you've been great to me. You flatter me, and I've got some ego, but I try to be modest. And I tell people I get my modesty from my father. He was a very modest man, very, very, very proud man, and very smart and a great coach. I said, I get my immodesty from my mother. So I've got some of both, but I try to be more modest and decide I've had a lot of help. I had good teammates when we won. I had great coaching, and I've had great support throughout my life. So, but you kind of flatter me, and you may give me the big head, so I may not be as good as you say I am, but thank you very much.
I bow my head when I say your name, Coach Majors. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay, Tony. Thanks for coming.
All right, my man. That's my man right there, Coach Johnny Majors. We're live today at Stover's, 4505 Asheville Highway. Basilio is back on the road. The World Tour continues. Our number, if you want to get in with us, is 200-54. Have you seen the uniform floating around? Your thoughts on our interview with Coach Majors? He didn't say he thinks this guy's a good coach. He said, I know this guy's a good coach. And he said, I'll make a little prediction for you. This guy's going to win at Tennessee, and he's going to win big time, and I know he's going to get it done. Not, I think he's going to get it done. And I think his comments about discipline are interesting, too. And I just wonder about Saban, because you look at him and you say, well, why is he doing what he's doing? I mean, I'm convinced when I watch a guy like Saban that Nick Saban would do it if he was making $25 a day. He just loves football. He would go out and do it for nothing. I'm convinced of that. I could be dead wrong about that. His single, the focus of those guys, and, you know, I've never really thought about what Johnny Majors just said, but they're not trash-talking when they go on the field. They're not Miami of the 80s, Florida State of the early 90s, Tennessee to some extent when it was rolling here. There's none of that gesticulating on the field and that sort of thing. I'd love to hear from you. I want your thoughts on the uniform, if you have a thought on what we've seen. Do you want that to be the uniform? Do you like it? I've had some people, several people, tell me I'm all wrong. Wise up, old man. Grow up. Get with the times. Is that what you think? I mean, let's talk about it. 200-5402. Do you like the new uni? I've texted it. Or not texted, I've tweeted it. And if you want to see it, you can see it anywhere. I'm going to tell you, I hope it's worn very infrequently. And personally, I think it's ugly. But that's just me. 865-200-5402, what do you say? This will be the first thing about Butch Jones that I'll complain about, because he's given all of us very little to complain about. And if they want to wear an alternative uniform every now and again, who am I to argue? But I will put my 2 cents in, because we are, after all, a democracy. After all, see, is exercise our rights, First Amendment and Second Amendment. As we take a brief time out and come back with more on the other side, I thank Coach Majors. More after this.